Chapter 1. How can we know? We can know because the Bible say we can know. Matthew 24:32 tells us, "Now learn the parable from the fig tree. As soon as its branch has become tender and sprouts its leaves, you know that summer is near." Verse 33, "So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door." Verse 34. "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place." Verse 35. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." These verses are an epilogue to the preceding 31 verses in which Jesus answers his disciples' question, "What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" This is a warning for the church to get ready for his return. A quick study of scriptures should make this one thing obvious. Any clear-thinking person can see that these things described by Jesus have been occurring with greater and greater frequency and intensity and are continuing to occur, and that the relevancy of these events began with the birth of Jesus. His advent, his birth, was the onset of the end of days eschatological clock countdown. Furthermore, Jesus has warned us that immediately after these birth pain tribulation signs, referring to the times of false prophets and false teachers in the church distorting and twisting the meanings of the scriptures, false Christs appearing, deceptions at all levels of religion, government, education, healthcare, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, that the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Verse 30. "And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory." Verse 31. "And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet blast, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other." A simple face value reading of these verses should make clear what is to happen. Then Jesus continues with instructions on what it means to be ready and how to prepare for his return and the coming judgments of the great tribulation and the wrath of the Lamb, a time in which no life would have been saved if those days had not been cut short for the sake of the elect. See Matthew chapters 24 and 25. Now let me ask, assuming these things are true, and these events are the precursor to what is known as the Great Tribulation, the great and terrible day of the Lord, what is the church doing to prepare for these days, which are now upon us? In fact, what are you doing in preparation for these days? If your church and you are doing nothing in preparation, then you either don't know what the Bible says, or you don't believe the Bible, or you don't understand the Bible, or you are not ready for what is upon us and what is to follow. I am just as certain that most people in church who think of themselves as Christians and do know about these things, have the misplaced belief that all that is necessary to avoid these coming judgments of God is to have said the sinner's prayer. If that is you, then here is a parable about these warnings from Jesus, found in Matthew 25:1-13. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins, who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they did not take extra oil with them, but the prudent ones took oil in flasks with their lamps. Now while the groom was delaying, they all became drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there finally was a shout, 'Behold, the groom! Come out to meet him!' Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish virgins said to the prudent ones, 'Give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out.' However, the prudent ones answered, 'No, there most certainly would not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves.' But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the groom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Yet later, the other virgins also came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up for us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, because you do not know the day nor the hour.'" Matthew 25:1-13. The virgins symbolize purity and readiness, representing believers or members of the church. The number 10 may signify completeness or a community, as it is a number often used in Jewish tradition to denote a quorum or a complete set. And because they, the 5 foolish virgins, were not ready for his return because they did not have enough oil. Oil in the Bible often symbolizes the Holy Spirit, anointing, and spiritual preparedness. The lack of extra oil indicates a failure to maintain a living, active faith and readiness for Christ's return. This phrase highlights the importance of perseverance and continual spiritual vigilance. The absence of extra oil suggests a superficial faith that lacks depth and sustainability, similar to the seed that fell on rocky ground in the parable of the sower, which sprang up quickly but withered away because it had no root. So, they were left behind. Note, for the Calvinist, they were not truly saved in the first place, or they were not part of the elect. For the Arminian, they made the wrong choices. Either way, they were left behind. I can tell you with great certainty that most churches and the people who attend them are not ready, despite their doctrinal view. In fact, they have no idea of what is about to overtake them nor how to respond to these deadly days of chaos, confusion and catastrophe. I could go into great detail, but at this time I will simply and succinctly explain what has been presented to this point: 1, where we are on God's eschatological clock; 2, our immediate future; and most importantly, 3, what Jesus has been saying about our preparedness since AD 25.